Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Dear Christian friends, the word of our God for our consideration this morning is that Old Testament lesson recorded for us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, as Moses reminds the people of Israel of that third commandment of our God. Well, I think it might be safe to finally say in Wisconsin that summer is here. It's been warmer the last several days, and the humidity is something that you can definitely feel out there, and so thoughts and minds start turning toward a little R&R, a little rest and relaxation. It's been quiet in the hallways around here for a week, and even out there in the public sector, the public school system is getting ready to quiet things down a little bit too. It's been another long year with a lot of hard work. Parents have been waking up early, getting their kids ready so that they can get them to school, so that they can head off to work and put their day in just to come back, pick them up, and then probably transport them wherever it is they need to go with all of the little extracurricular activities that are going on. Kids have been hard at it too. They've been studying hard, hopefully. Playing hard, no doubt. Getting to know one another better all the time. And so now, rest and relaxation is on the mind. It seems like we think, anyway, rest can be the cure for just about everything these days. Are you worn out? A little frenzied from all of the activity around you? It's nothing that a nice lake and the right fishing pole can't cure. Are you tired of chasing your tail in that endless rat race of life that exists out there? That's why somebody thought up roughing it. Disconnecting from all of that craziness and going out into the wilderness somewhere where life just gets simpler. Or maybe you're tired of the daily grind, the humdrum of life that never offers any excitement, and so we invented water parks. With all of the excitement that comes with it, you can go there and play and delight to as much as you could possibly hope for. It's time for rest. It's time for relaxation. And so today, God turns our attention to that third commandment, to his Sabbath, which in Hebrew literally means rest. Because he knows something. He knows that we can find the prettiest lake and the best fishing pole on earth, and that ultimately none of that matters if we haven't first been caught by the fisher of souls himself. He knows that we can find that perfect little patch of God's country in which to relax, but all of that too is utterly meaningless unless we listen to the word of the one who created it all. And even if we find the excitement of the water park capital of the world, it's eventually going to fade away. Only the excitement of the perfection of heaven truly lasts forever. And so today God looks out at all of us and he says, observe the Sabbath day. Or we might say it in our modern day parlance, get some rest. How does one do that? What does that look like? Well, God tells us today, doesn't he? As he's talking to Old Testament Israel, he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Obviously, for the Old Testament Israelite, rest, actual physical rest, was to be a part of this day. Everything was to come to a screeching halt for the Jewish individual. Something else reigned on this day. And that's important. It's about more than just physical rest, as we said just moments ago, as Jesus pointed out to us in our gospel lesson. It's about spiritual rest. That's what all of that physical rest was a picture of, a shadow of, pointing to. And so God says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Kind of like a little bit more literal translation there. I think it helps bring out some of the flavor of what God is saying. Exercise great care over the day, the Sabbath, by consecrating it as the Lord your God commanded. In other words, treat God's rest like it is the most important thing in this world. Because, well, it is. And so you're going to want to set it aside. You're going to want to consecrate it. You're going to want to hallow that day. We want it to be holy, just as God has always designed for it to be. But how do we do that? How can we make a day holy? Well, it's Jesus who now provides that answer for us. It happens there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he's praying for his disciples, and he looks up to his Father in heaven and he says, sanctify them, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is what this day is all about. And so Martin Luther is 100% correct when he writes that explanation in the Small Catechism and focuses singularly on the scripture of our God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word, but regard it as holy, and gladly hear and learn it. And so it's pretty simple when it comes to the third commandment, isn't it? God says, I want you to understand that my word is the most important thing in your life. My word is the thing that you need the most. It is the one thing that provides you with the rest that you desperately need. And so I want you to set it aside, clear your schedule so that you can sit down and think about this word on a regular basis. Simple. Easy. Maybe not so much. As sinful human beings, we understand how impossible this commandment is. There are countless things in this world of ours that are constantly trying to rewrite this commandment and tell us something else is more important, or that we can do whatever we want rather than listen to our God and what he has to say. Again, it's Martin Luther who writes in his large catechism, a little bit lengthier section that we'll read here, discussing the many ways that this commandment can be broken. Because so much depends on God's word that no holy day is sanctified without it, we must realize that God wants this commandment to be kept strictly and will punish all who despise his word and refuse to hear and learn it, especially at the times appointed. Therefore, this commandment is violated not only by those who grossly misuse and desecrate the holy day, like those who in their greed or frivolity neglect the hearing of God's word or lie around in taverns dead drunk like swine. It is also violated by that other group who listen to God's word as they would to any other entertainment, who only from force of habit go to hear the sermon and leave again with as little knowledge at the end of the year as at the beginning. Used to be thought that Sunday had been properly observed if one went to Mass to listen to the gospel being read. However, no one asked about God's word, and no one taught it either. Now that we have God's word, we still fail to eliminate this abuse, for we permit ourselves to be preached to and admonished, but we listen without serious concern. Remember, then, that you must be concerned not only about the hearing of the word, but also about learning it and retaining it. Do not think that it is up to your discretion or that it is an unimportant matter. It is the commandment of God, who will require of you an accounting of how you have heard, learned, and honored his word. In the same way, those conceited spirits should also be punished, who after they have heard a sermon or two become sick and tired of it, feel that they know it all and need no more instructors. Let me tell you this, even though you know the word perfectly and have already mastered everything, you are daily under the dominion of the devil, and he does not rest day or night in seeking to take you unawares and to kindle in your heart unbelief and wicked thoughts against these three and all other commandments. Therefore, you must constantly keep God's word in your heart, on your lips, and in your ears. For where the heart stands idle and the word is not heard, the devil breaks in and does his damage before we realize it. Why does Martin Luther get so worked up as he talks about the third commandment? Because he understands how easy it is to erode this rest that God has given to us. The devil, the world, our own sinful nature are constantly trying to make us think that we are more important than our God. And so, quite frankly, if we can't find time for God, even for an hour each week, maybe it's because we're already kneeling at an altar of our own making instead. And there it is, right? The law. Always showing us our sinfulness, always showing us what we truly have earned and deserved before our God, only his wrath and his punishment. But as we gather together, as God has asked us, doesn't want us to bludgeon ourselves with his wrath and make ourselves feel guilty unnecessarily. Instead, he tells us he wants us to remember something. Consider that last verse of our lesson today. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. As Israel stopped and did nothing, as they focused in on God and his word, it wasn't his wrath over sin that they were to be concerned about. God tells them, I want you to think about my deliverance. And so he says it to us as well. As we focus in on God's word, he says, think about the deliverance that I have given to you. Think about Jesus and everything that he has done for us. Think about how seriously he took this rest of God as he once even twists things into a whip so that he can drive people out of the temple, overturning tables because they would turn his house into a business and a crooked one at that. Consider how he was always ready to take time to go to temple and synagogue, even though he's God himself. From the time that he's that tiny boy in Jerusalem, the time he goes to the cross for us. Or even consider how he's so willing to talk about this commandment with those Pharisees who had twisted it so terribly that he might put it back the way that it belonged. God asks for it to be. And he doesn't do all of this so that he can stand in front of us and say, there, that's what perfection looks like. Now you should go do it. He does it for us, in our place, on our behalf, that we might have the holiness that God requires as he supplies it for us. And that's why he even goes with that cross, being the perfect sacrifice for our sins, dealing with all of that terrible pain and torture as they beat him and lash him and fix him to a cross. With his holy, precious blood, He might pay for all the times that we haven't treated God's word as an important thing. That's why in many people's minds, Sunday has replaced Saturday as that day that we sit down and take some time for God, because it was on Sunday that the victory was declared. As the tomb was empty, as Jesus rose and announced to all of us that we are heirs of heaven, and as we focus in on that, this commandment changes, doesn't it? No longer is it a drudgery that we have to fulfill or we're going to face God's wrath. It's something that we want. Understanding that we're sinful human beings, understanding that we need forgiveness, we run to the cross of Christ, clearly displayed for us in God's holy word, that we might hear it and learn it and take it to heart. We remember our baptisms where God calls us his very own child and gives us the faith to believe in all of it. We flee to the holy table, where God actually allows us to touch and to taste the body and the blood in with and under bread and wine, given for sinners like us, that we might have forgiveness, might have new life, might have the salvation that we need. So the day begins to change. No longer are we even concerned with just 1 hour or 1 day, but we begin to devote our entire lives to this word, listening to God wherever we can, however we can, wherever we can, because we understand the blessing that it is for us as God showers us in his grace over and over again. So yeah, it's summer, and our thoughts turn to rest and relaxation. And so God speaks to all of us. Get some rest. The real rest that's found in Christ alone. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, may it guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.